Hi and welcome to Home Education for All, or HEFA for short. At HEFA, we believe that community is the heart of home education, and so that's what we built. We built a community in the UK, helping, supporting and uplifting each other to be the best home educators we can be. And now we're coming to you via this podcast too. Stay tuned for all things home education in the UK via our amazing, experienced, knowledgeable and often hilarious team. We truly believe home education can be for everyone, and we hope listening here will give you the confidence or knowledge you need if you've been considering home education. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. So this week I have a wonderful guest who has agreed to step in very last minute for me because my guest had to cancel. Yes, so today I have the wonderful George joining me from the south of England. George is a parent, carer and home educator in the south of England. Hello, George.
Hi, Ellen. Hi.
Hi, great to see you. And hear you, because nobody else can see you, just me. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Yeah, all good.
Fantastic. So this is just a kind of relaxed chat about home education and how that works for you and your family. So how long has your family been home educating?
Yes, so it's the same time as the age of my stepson, because he's never been to school. So he's currently 11 years old. So my wife has been home educating him since the start. He's never been to school. And I joined the family in 2020, you could say. So I met my wife in 2019, and in 2020 I moved in with her and her two children, and now we have we're married and we have some biological children of our own as well, but you could say I'm fully integrated into the family with my stepkids, sort of as a proper full-time parent, see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. We are the same, so we are a blended family of you know, previous marriages and previous relationships and things like that. And then we also have biological children together as well. So absolutely, it's really lovely to hear from a step parent, because that's a really helpful input that we don't get very often in the podcast. So thank you. I didn't even click that would be a feature for this one.
Of course,
So are all of the children home educated?
No. So my wife's eldest child, I don't mind sharing with you, his name's Milo. He is the only child that's currently home educated. He's the only child of school age that's home educated anyway. Yeah. So he has a younger sister. So he's 11, sorry, just to mention. He has a younger sister who is 7 years old, and she goes to school actually full time. And then we have our child together. That's my son. He's 2 years old, and we do have one more on the way currently. So not sure yet where the two-year-old is going to land, but we take the approach of to each child, what they need is what they'll provide. So yeah.
Absolutely. What made your wife decide to home educate, and how did you feel about that coming into the family with that kind of already in place?
Yeah, so I know that the reason she decided to take that route was because she could tell from a very early age that a school environment would be pretty stressful for Milo. he can be easily overwhelmed by places that have a lot of noise, that have a lot of people talking over each other all the time. And he also thrives really with a lot of flexibility and sort of close attention to his needs. So that was why it was an obvious choice, I think, for her to elect not to put him into school and instead educate him at home. And when I met my wife and heard about how she cares for Milo and home educates him, I was really interested to hear about it. I didn't know much about the home educating world at that time. And it made perfect sense to me, to be honest, from the start, that if that's what the child needs and would thrive best with, and you're able to provide it, that the option is there. I knew some children when I was a child myself that had been home educated at times, and then also I met them in school, so I was aware of the idea, but I didn't have any first-hand experience at all.
And so you were kind of on board with it straight away.
Yeah, I think I came into the relationship and came into the idea of meeting my wife's children with an open mind because I wasn't a parent myself at that time, and I considered her to be the expert on her own children, and she had very easy to understand ways of explaining why she was doing what she was doing. So yeah, I sort of said, oh, okay, that's if that's how you do it, like I'll learn about that and find out how to do it as well, and we'll do it together.
Amazing. How have you found sort of learning about home ed? Has it been sort of just a hands-on learn as you go journey, or did you do any research or anything like that?
It's been really interesting. I definitely have tried to do my own research to sort of be prepared for what to expect and to sort of learn about how things work with the legality of home educating and what are the requirements legally as a home educator. And although I have done my own reading, I've learned a lot from engaging with like the communities of other home educating parents around me. So both in local groups in person, but also sort of using online groups and reading about other people's experiences. Yeah, so I take on board all of that to sort of inform me about, well, it's in the early stages definitely. And then obviously now I've sort of 3 years of my own lived experience of it as well to draw on. So yeah, but I came into the job, if you like, knowing nothing. So I was quite a blank slate.
I love that. I love that you just kind of went, okay, that's what you're doing. Right, cool. Let's work out how that works then. Fantastic. Is there anything that you were kind of concerned about or sort of thinking, you know, because when we talk about home ed, we often talk about needing to de-school and things like that. Did you experience that kind of thing?
I learned about the concept of deschooling, and I can definitely see the advantages of taking that approach when your child's been to school. But of course, with my stepson, there was no deschooling to do because he'd never been to school. But it was quite clear to see once I'd spent a little more time with the family and got to know him, quite how a traumatic experience he might find, being dropped off in an environment like a school. And I did have my concerns as well about the approach and about how it would impact his development and his future. So I think the main thing on my mind was about the social side of life and the social interactions with other children. And in my mind, if I did have any kind of stereotypical thinking coming into it, it would be, oh, home educated children are never going to play with any other kids. They're going to be socially isolated and they're not going to develop those soft social skills that are really useful as adults, from being with other children all day. And to sort of explain my experience of that concern straight away, I've got something else to mention, but if we stay on that topic first, I was completely wrong. The Milo's social life is so much better than mine was at the same age, and I was a full-time school-educated child.
Same.
Although he might spend fewer raw contact hours with other children than someone in school, the time that he does spend with his friends is really rich and like quality time that they spend together, either doing learning activities or just free time to play. Because everyone there, all the children, I mean, have their support network there with them, with their parent or whoever's caring for them at the time, and they don't have the pressures of like a time limit on a playtime or worrying about what's going to come up for the rest of the day, or with, how's this adult going to react to something or other. They're just completely relaxed and comfortable, and they have a brilliant time together. Also, I'd say that his social circle is way more vertical in terms of age groups. So he has friends that are 2 or 3 years younger than him, and friends that are 2 or 3 years older than him, and all in between. So that's really nice as well. So my concern about that was quite quickly blown away, really, especially once, of course, meetups were back on after lockdowns in 2020 and everything. And then the other concern that would have been on my mind at the start. Sorry, I feel like I'm monologuing a
No,
bit
it's brilliant. This is exactly
here.
what we want.
Okay, good, good. The other concern would be about, his long-term future. Because the framework of, well, this many years, then this assessment, then this qualification, then this da 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 da. But as I've sort of entered into the community of home educators and seen some older children and what they might be up to in their into their teenage years and above, again, that concern has really, really faded away, because when the children are able to follow what they're passionate about with like close attentive support to help them research what's going to be the best, the best kind of courses to look at, the best kind of pathways into an area of their passion, whether it be paid work or
Yeah.
not. I now see that, the whole exams route is one way into doing things, but following a path that you design yourself is just as viable and can lead to outcomes, I think, that can be way more like fulfilling and tailored to what that person actually enjoys and where their passions lie. If I draw on my own life as an example, I followed the school system, I sat my exams, I went off to uni, because that was just what you did. And my degree didn't really lead into a particular industry. And so I was left sort of clueless, really, as a young adult about what my passions were and where I might like to put my energy. Whereas in the home ed system, those conversations can start much earlier and be much more holistic and tailored, because you're getting that individual attention from your adult that's providing your education.
Yes, absolutely. It's one of the things that I really love about home ed is that I see so many home educators work backwards. So their child has a significant interest or a significant passion, or they seem to have like an aptitude or ability in something that they really enjoy. And the parent helps that child to recognize where they might go with that. And what then happens is you end up with, that's the goal over there. Now let's work backwards from that to work out what you need to get there.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously in school they have to provide a broad spectrum of skills because they have no idea where any of the, it's a general certificate in education, right? The GCSE. So it's about providing a general amount of information that enables you to move on to a vast spectrum of things, which is why you end up having to do, you know, t 9, 10 GCSEs, because you don't know where that child is going to end up, and you don't have the one-to-one, you know, facilitated, supported role to be able to do that for every child that's in your lessons, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I do love it as someone who, as you know, has had one go through to uni and come back out again and all of that, and is thriving and doing amazingly. It definitely does when you've been in the home ed community for a while and you start to see those people who were, you know, maybe just going into teenagehood, and they're starting to come out the other side of that, and they're moving on to other things. It really does set your mind at ease for your younger ones.
Definitely, yeah. And I think I compare what I see from those home educated teenagers or young adults, and I think about where I was at the similar ages, and I think, wow, you've got a really clear idea a lot of the time about what you like, what you want to go and put your energy into, and whether or not that leads into like a career pathway or not. I just think that's a really valuable place to be at that age, when you've got a lot of free time and energy to put into your own kind of self-led development, even as a teenager. Whereas I was climbing the ladder with everyone else, just kind of like step by step, and it didn't really for me but foster much sense of passion or drive or commitment to goals, because I was just like, well, my goal is just to finish.
Yeah.
And I don't, when there is no finish line put in front of you like that, the home educated children, I think, have like the world at their feet, that they can go and go and be who they are, and without limitation. So yeah, I think it's brilliant. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. As someone who is a parent carer and a home educator, what do you think is the biggest challenge for you when it comes to sort of home ed and things?
For me personally, with our particular family setup, if you like, it's probably around sort of like time management and transporting people around to where they need to be. Because obviously we have one child home educated, and Milo has several groups and meetups throughout the week that we take him along to, for both for education things to do, but also social
Yeah.
meetups. And then that can be really flexible, and that can be, whenever people arrange things in the community time-wise in the day. But then we also have a rigid schedule for another child with a child in school, and we got some of the we also do spend some time in the week looking after my wife's niece, who's also a toddler like my son, and so we got some preschool pickups to do as well.
Wow.
So logistically, and obviously splitting our time to be able to give each child the time that they need with us, it is a bit of a that is a bit of a challenge. But in terms of the actual sort of providing or delivering the home education for Milo, I think it can be a challenge just to get him to start, to be honest. Once we get going with things, because we're providing one-on-one, if we're at home, if we're doing things at home, one-on-one input with him, it's actually quite smooth to engage him and address his questions and follow the pathway of his curiosities and plan things that he's interested in. And that is so fruitful once we get started. But there is a bit of an inertia to getting started with things. And he this is one of the challenges that he would have hugely if he were in a school environment, is he can be quite averse to like requests, really. So the demand of we need to come and start doing this now is often met with an initial spike of resistance. I really don't want to, and oh, sort of like a really kind of a bit drammy, really. But because we're in the home environment and we're right here, it's just him and us, we're able to soothe him, and he's able to just be comfortable in his own home, and so that initial spike of resistance doesn't develop into some kind of spiral of negative emotions. He can sort of regulate himself in the ways that he knows work, often with a snack, and then we get started, and then everything's great. So yeah.
I have one that has Mr. 15. He has to have a constant supply of food in his mouth for
Yeah.
sensory purposes to make his brain work. So
Right, right.
I completely appreciate that. And also, what's really good about home ed is obviously you can, because you know the child really well and you know your child, you're able to factor those kinds of things into. How long something might potentially take, and whether or not actually this resistance is. So I had it yesterday. We're exploring sort of business and enterprise with Mr. 15 and entrepreneurship and things like that. And the resources that I had picked out, sort of within about 10 minutes, it was really clear to me that although he might be very interested in these things, this resource isn't the right one.
Yeah.
Because he was just really distracted and kept kind of picking his phone up to play with a game and various different things. And I was like, right, okay, let's come back to this again later. And I've then, recognized at lunch, my husband was home yesterday, and at lunch, I sort of said, because he said to me, "Oh, are you guys going back to doing that after lunch?" And I said, "No, we're not going to, because it's clear that the resource isn't right.
Yeah.
The subject is, but the resource isn't.
Yeah.
And I need something much more hands-on, not theory-based. We're with Mr. 15, we're working towards him starting to recognize that." So for example, we're using Google Classrooms for the first time ever. And this is all to help to prepare him for next year when he might move on to college. So, you know, starting to get him used to the idea that there will be things like an app where the college will set work and things, and he will need to, you know, submit it and various things like that, that he's never had to engage in before. So this year we're starting to use that, and we're starting to set things. We still sit and do everything together. But it's, you know, reminding him, look at your to-do list on the classroom, what's in there, and he'll do them, and then he'll take the screenshots of whatever it is he's done, and he'll upload them as a piece of work. So it's all of that practice for moving forward into more independent study. And so I was like, no, this resource is not, it's not the one. Let's find something else. So we're going to put that to the side for now, because that's, there's no point in trying to push that if he's resistant to it for good reason.
I would say trial and error is a big factor in how we approach things as well, both in terms of, you know, something like that, like a resource at home, but also like groups and classes that we may schedule in the week, that we, if we try them for the first time, that's going to be a big challenge, and newness, unfamiliar environments, people that Milo doesn't know well, all are, can be very stressful. So we try quite a few things that do not pan out after maybe even just one try. And the great thing is that we can react to that immediately and be agile in the same way that you were with your resource and say, okay, that didn't work. What's next to try? What else can we explore? And when things do, fit Milo and what he needs, he then is able to access things brilliantly and regularly and do them long term. But to find those things, it can take a few tries, definitely.
Okay. We've ended up going off on tangents. That's what normally happens, but I was just checking through my list of questions, and I'm kind of like, yeah, we've kind of covered that. So what I'm going to ask you to finish with is one piece of advice for any home ed dads out there who are either considering home education or are new to home education. What kind of advice would you have for those dads?
That's a really good question. I'll let me just gather my thoughts for a moment. I think the thing that most surprised me when I was coming into it, and that once I really realized this, it allowed me to sort of relax into the process of doing it a lot more, is that there are countless ways to educate your child. And if you go down the home education route, there is a lot of time that you can spend experimenting with what's going to work best for your child. And then when the right things work and they click, you can be off like a rocket. So I think my advice would be to, especially in the early stages, if you're just starting, be patient with the process of learning how to home educate your child, and also for them to learn how to be home educated in a way. If they've been to school before, there could be a lot of trauma that they have from that. I mean, as I entered this world, I realized, even looking back on my own school experience, quite how traumatic it can be. So unpacking all of that for the child as well as for the parent can take some time. And I'd say if you're able to persist and keep trying different things, then the result is really, really worth it.
I love that advice. I love it because, essentially what we're saying is we understand that, if you're coming out of the school system, you're going to be very kind of attached to this idea that education happens in a certain way, but actually stay open to the potentials that actually you might be missing to make home ed wonderful for you and your child if you keep down that narrow pathway. So just, open yourself up and, recognize how many different ways education might happen for your child, right?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, something like listening to these podcasts is a really good way to sort of find out more from the community of home educators around you as well. That would be maybe my second bit of advice is access the communities around you, find them, find your local home educators, whether it be online or at in-person meetups, and talk to other parents because every home educating parent has got different stories that they can offer and value that you can find in sharing experiences with each other.
Absolutely. I love that. Thank you so much, George, for your short notice
That's okay.
grab.
That's fine.
I'm so glad you were able to join me today. For those of you listening, thank you very much for sticking with us. It has been a really like information-packed podcast today. So do take your time. Do, really listen to what George is sharing with you because there are some absolute gems of wisdom in this podcast. And I didn't have to do very much talking, which was great. Thank you, George. For those of
You're
you
welcome. It's
listening,
my pleasure.
we will see you next time for another episode of the Heifer podcast. Don't forget, you can find us on all of your usual podcast listening apps. You can find us on our website and in the Facebook group as well. Until next time, take care.